Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
In those times when God moves us from where we've been to where He now wants us to be. Oh, come on now. I want you to hear. He moves us from where we are to where He wants us to be, and to get us there, we got some hardship to go through.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's infusion of the truth.
Because we act like God hides from us, and people talk all the time, well, I'm trying to discover the will of God for my life. You're not looking very hard. Because God doesn't hide His will. He might have already showed you His will and you want another will, but He wants you to know the will for your life more than you want to know the will for your life. He's about revealing Himself and revealing truth to us, not hiding stuff. And so this is not really a secret. Psalm 23 makes it real plain and real obvious. If you'll do these things, trust these things, and know these things, then security and satisfaction will be the way you live your life. God wants us living life like that. And He doesn't want us to be in the midst of all this frustration and fear and all this that we live in all the time. It's not meant to be that way. And that's what I want us to understand from tonight. There's a little boy, and he was in Sunday school class, and the teacher said, we're going to do something. I want you to all go home, and I'm going to give you a month, and I want you to memorize the 23rd Psalm. And these little dudes now, we're going to memorize the 23rd Psalm, and then in a month on this one given Sunday, she said, we're all going to come back, and we're going to stand up in front of the church one by one, and you're going to tell everybody, you're going to repeat the 23rd Psalm. One little dude named Bobby, he just had a rough time with this. And he spent a month, and he just couldn't figure it out, and he couldn't get it, and he rocked, and he tried, and he tried, and he tried, and he could barely get past the first line. It just wouldn't stick. It wouldn't stick. The Sunday came, and it was time to stand up in front of everybody, and he's nervous. And he walks up and gets in front of the microphone, and he looks out at the crowd, and he says, the Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I know. And he sat down. And when I read that, I thought, hey, Bobby's got it. There's a lot more truth in that than we want to admit, because what we've learned is from the Sunday sermons and from last night, if the Lord is your shepherd, David said, you shall not want. You don't need to know anything else. We don't need one of Amazon's 1,500 books to figure out how to live secure and satisfied lives. All we need is Psalm 23. I'm glad God gave it to us. It's in a nutshell. It's God's manual for satisfaction and security. And last night we learned how to be secure in the fact that we're not going to want for restoration. We talked about the cast sheep last night and how our lives get turned upside down sometimes, and that's just the way it is. And when we get turned upside down, God wants you to know even before it happens, I specialize in restoration. God's here to put us back on our feet. God's here to revive us when we get exhausted. I get amazed as a pastor at people who will get tired during the week and take Sunday off because they need to rest. I pray that they get tireder. That's my prayer. They'll say, Pastor, I need to rest. Well, you should have been in church, because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I find strength in the Lord. And when my spirit is strong, my body will follow along with it. You see, that's what we are. We're spirit before we're body. And so we need to take care of that spirit first. And the body follows along. And so He refreshes us and He revives us. And He refreshes us when we get tired. And when I can't, He can. And that's what He told us. And so tonight we're going to take a step further. You want to go a little bit further in this? I want you to take your Bible and open to Psalm 23, and we're going to read the first four verses tonight. So I like people to stand when we read God's Word, so if you'll stand with me real quick, and we'll read, say a word of prayer and get into this tonight. David's writing, the Shepherd King. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Lord, give us the ability tonight to latch hold of this. Help us understand that not only you, when you're our shepherd, will we never lack for restoration, but we're going to learn tonight we'll never lack for protection either, because that's what you promise us. Give that to us. Give us the ability to understand tonight and to apply, and we'll give you praise and glory for the good things about to happen. In Jesus I pray. Amen. We looked last night at sometimes how things seem like they're a paradox in our minds, and we talked about how the Lord was our shepherd, and I shall not want. That means I won't lack for anything. If we had asked David, what do you mean by that statement? He'd say, just what I said. You know, I don't lack for anything. And we talked about the fact that it doesn't seem to fit when we say we don't lack for anything, and then in the next verse we start talking about restoration. If I'm not lacking for anything, how come I need to be restored? And we looked at sometimes that's not the shepherd's fault. I mean, it's never the shepherd's fault. It's our fault, because we're not always good sheep. Come on now, sometimes we revert back to our dumbness and our defenselessness, and we get away from the shepherd, and so he wants us to know. And so it almost seems like that with this verse even more than that one, what we're going to look at tonight, because if the Lord is our shepherd and we shall not want, then I thought, preacher, why are we going to talk tonight about trouble? Why are we going to talk about hard times? Because I thought when the Lord became my shepherd, I was done with trouble. That's what the TV preacher told me, that if I just get right with God, I'd have all the money I want, I'd never get sick again, and my wife's going to stop nagging, and my kids are going to get right, and everything's going to be cool now that I am a shepherd. He's my shepherd. So why in the world are we talking about trouble? In the middle of this relationship between shepherd and sheep, I thought everything's supposed to be okay now. You see, you need to understand, here's the trouble with modern church truth. A lot of it just ain't true. Hey, it sounds good. I wish I could stand up here and tell you, if you'll come down to this altar tonight and make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, everything's going to start coming up roses, and everything's going to be fine, and it's going to be great for the rest of your life. I wish I could tell you that. And I wish I could tell you it's as simple as, if something does go wrong, it's because you sinned and you did something wrong. And if you'll get it right, then all that bad stuff will go away. But folks, listen to me. I'm not concerned with what the modern church says. I want you to know what the Bible says. And what the Bible says is, that just ain't true. In fact, the Bible, Psalm 23, is going to show us that when the Lord is our shepherd, he didn't say we wouldn't have any trouble. The Lord being my shepherd does not mean the absence of trouble. It means the addition of power. Oh, now come on. I want you to hear that. That ought to be on a bumper sticker somewhere. The Lord is our shepherd does not mean the absence of struggle. It means the addition of strength. That's what the Lord said he's going to do for us. He said you're going to have these hard times. That's a part of life. He told us that. He said it's just going to be the way it is. But from now on, if I'm your shepherd, you're not going to do this by yourself. That's the difference. That's what he wants us to know. So what's David talking about here? I almost wish you hadn't bought all them little booklets. And by the way, I ain't got no more. My faith was real small this week. I called David and said, how many did you bring? He said, all 30, 40. And I brought 45, and you bought them all last night. So Judy's going to be at the front and take your name, and if you want some, we'll send it to the preacher, and he can pass them out and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, I want you to understand what he's talking about here. See, because this verse has been as misunderstood as the first verse. Because we don't understand this relationship between shepherd and sheep. I've never really seen sheep up close and personal. I can't really think. I've never spent a lot of time with sheep. It's not something we do here. We know cows, we know horses, we know pigs, and we know things, but not sheep. And so what I want you to understand is that when David talks about the valley of the shadow of death, never in the Hebrew does the valley of the shadow of death appear in this phrase. It's something that was made up to try to help us understand what David's talking about. And so when you come to understand, see, we're not talking about death here. This is not about death. I've used it 1,900 times in funeral services and misapplied it because I didn't understand it. You see, this is not talking about death. This phrase, the valley of the shadow of death, what it literally means in the Hebrew, how it's translated is, it's the valley of deep darkness. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of deep darkness. Now, what's he talking about? Again, he's not talking about a time in our lives. Even though some of us, come on, raise our hand, we've walked through what we consider to be the valley of deep darkness. We've been there. We understand it. We're acquainted with this trouble. But that's not what David's talking about again. If you don't get the picture, you don't understand the word. You see, David was a shepherd. We're going to talk more about this tomorrow night. But in the wintertime, all the sheep were conglomerated in large flocks in the winter pastures down in the lowlands. And there was a lot of grass, and there was a lot of water. And so you could take all the flocks and just put them all together, and they pretty well took care of themselves. But in the summer, when the rain stopped, the sheep had to be moved from the lower winter pastures to the upper mountain pastures, where the grass was green and there was still fresh water flowing. Now, to get from down here to up there, they had to go through a place that was a literal place, a place that every shepherd knew. It was called the Valley of Deep Darkness. It was a deep gully, a huge, deep ravine that had to be crossed to get from the winter pastures in the lowlands to the summer pastures in the highlands. And the only way the sheep could get across was if the shepherd took them, many times picking them up one at a time and taking them across this deep, dark valley. It was a place, a literal, real place that David had crossed 100 times, that David had been through 100 times. And David wants us to know that that's what he's talking about here. He's talking about a real place in our lives, in those times when God moves us from where we've been to where he now wants us to be. Oh, come on now. I want you to hear. He moves us from where we are to where he wants us to be. And to get us there, we got some hardship to go through. Raise your hand if you love being in the valley of deep darkness. I didn't want him to see me raise it, and then I was just playing. I've been there. There have been things that have happened in my life that I wouldn't voluntarily go back and go through again for nothing. Walk through hard times. I walk through hard times. These are the times we're talking about, those times when it doesn't make any sense. Those times, and I'm saved. And I know I'm saved. And not only am I saved, but I'm doing everything I can do to be right. I'm not missing church. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying. I'm going through the disciplines. I'm giving. I'm with the Lord. We talk. We talk all the time. We have a close relationship. And all of a sudden, it comes undone. And I don't understand. And I become frustrated. Because, you see, I'm short-sighted. So are you. And I really, when I talked about the TV preachers, we act like we don't believe it, but we do. We've bought into this concept that if I'll be right, things will do right. Because, you see, that's what we want to believe. I want to believe that going through the rigors of being a Christian and going through the rigors of walking with God and doing all this stuff, I want to believe that it's somehow or another is going to be a shot in my arm that immunizes me against the valley of deep darkness. But God says that ain't true. You're going to go through this. I want to teach you something tonight, church, and I want you to hear me. I'm not trying to be a prophet of doom. Before we can get to the summer pastures, we got to cross the valley of deep darkness. If your theology will not allow you to understand that hard times are as much a part of God's plan for you as good times, then you need to reread the Bible and rethink what you believe. Because there's a lot of idiots. I'm sorry, but I'll call a spade a spade. There's a lot of idiots out there with pastoring churches and preaching from the Bible, supposedly, who are telling you an absolute lie out of the pits of hell. They're telling you that the only time it gets bad is because you're wrong. And you've sinned and you've done something wrong. That you've done something to alienate yourself from God, and because you're out from under God's protection, now I'm not saying that can't happen. But I am saying, understand this, Christian, if you're in a valley tonight, if you're going through those hard times, or you just got out of one, you see, there ain't but three types of people. You either in it, just coming out of it, or heading to it. And if that's true in your life, if that's where you are, you need to understand something. Here's the Bible truth. That happened to you one of two reasons. God either orchestrated it personally or he allowed it to take place. Nothing happens. I'm not a victim of circumstances or a victim of this life. Nothing happens like that. I am in the hand of Almighty God, which means if anything, whatever happens in my life, either happens because he planned it, orchestrated it, and led me through it, or he allowed it to take place for my benefit. Nothing happens by accident. Victim my foot. I'm not a victim. So you got to understand, I don't know exactly where the Lord's going to go with all this going. None of that on these pieces of paper right here. See, we're talking about those places when times get tough. We're talking about when the boss walks in and hands you a pink slip. And you just bought a new house. And you know what's fixing to happen. We're talking about you go to the doctor. And he comes back and says, this ain't good news. And you weren't ready for that. Have you ever noticed that a trip through the valley never comes when you're ready? And it never happens after you've been notified? We're talking about when the law calls and says, we got your child. And there was meth in the car. Or when your spouse walks in and says, I'm through. I want a divorce. Those are valleys. I suck the wind out of you. And what David's going to try to teach us tonight is, those are when you walk in those valleys, that's when if you're not careful, you'll lose all perspective. Devil will whisper in your ear, I told you this wasn't worth it. All this child of the king stuff. I'm a daughter of the king. I am blessed. Yeah, right. And you'll lose perspective. You'll forget everything you know. All this stuff we talked about at Revival at Southside Church and Hope. If that valley happens next week, if you're not real careful, you'll forget everything we talked about. The enemy will snatch it out of your head before you ever time's time to grow. And you'll lose your perspective, and you'll lose everything you know, and you'll get to that point where you're ready to quit. You'll say to yourself, and sometimes you'll say it out loud, this ain't worth it. I didn't suffer like this when I was living for the devil. I'm going to quit. I'm done. I'm through. David said, when I was studying this week in my office is a portable building. That's church. They have any room for nothing else, so they put a portable building outside the church, and I love it anyway. It's my little den. It's where I go. People know if I'm in there, this ain't where you come get me. I'm here because this is where I'm going to stay. And I love to study the Bible. It hadn't always been the case. I was a lazy preacher for a lot of years. Now I like to dig in the Word. And this week I was in my office looking, and a word jumped out at me. See, I understood about the valley of deep darkness. I'd studied that about a year and a half or so ago and figured out that we weren't talking about death here and all that sort of thing, that we were actually talking about a place. And I understood the truth about all that. And then I saw a word when I was reading it. David said, yea, though I run through the valley of the shadow of death, yea, though I sprint as fast as I can through the valley of the shadow of death. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley. And that spoke to me, and I want that to speak to you. David said, when it happened, and say he had been there. He'd lost a child. Because of sin, he had lost his relationship with God for a while in the closeness and the protection of being that man after God's own heart. And suddenly he was hanging on the altars crying out, please forgive me. Please don't turn away from me. Please restore the joy of my salvation. Broken and busted before the Lord. He knew this valley, and David said, I walk through those. No panic. See, hear me, church. We talk a lot in our churches about trusting God. I don't mean to bust anybody's bubble today, but until you're willing to walk through the valley, you don't know nothing about trusting God. Because we don't trust God until we have to trust God. And a lot of what we call faith ain't faith. It's just a bunch of words we've spouted off in church. You don't know whether you have it until you have to use it. And David said, I've been in this valley before. I'm not a stranger to the valley of deep darkness. And now when it comes, I walk through. No panic. How do you handle it? Don't say it out loud. We're not here to testify. How do you handle it? You know how most of us handle it? When we get in the middle of these hard times, our prayer goes something like this. Get me out of here! Now! Immediately, if not sooner. We want deliverance. Now! And our prayers have nothing to do with asking from God. We're giving God our advice on how he needs to handle it. And he needs to get on a stick. He needs to move quickly. He needs to get us out of here. And can I tell you what? When our lives come undone, whether God orchestrated it or whether God allowed it, when they come undone, there is no panic in heaven. God didn't fall off the throne and say, oh my goodness, my child's going. He knew this was coming. He has a plan for this. No panic in heaven. Only plans. And God says, what I want for you is to learn to trust me enough that when life comes undone and you find yourself in the valley of deep darkness, that you don't start running, you don't get in a panic, but you just walk through the valley. You know, nothing makes the devil madder than when you decide to stroll through what he intended to scare you to death and send you running. And see, this is a predetermined plan. Can I tell you something? You can't decide to be like David. See, David said, I walk through the valley and I fear no evil. You can't do that in the valley. Those who've ever walked through the valley know that in the valley, you don't have time to figure out what you're going to do. You don't have time now to make a plan. You got to make that plan. You got to figure out how you're going to what you're going to do. You got to figure that out in the pastures when everything's going well. Because when life comes undone, you don't have time to all of a sudden get out your Bible and start digging for promises. Where am I going to stand? What am I going to believe? What am I going to think now? Where am I going to go? You don't have time for that. Life is pressing in. Things now, you got to reach down in your gut and pull from somewhere deep down on the inside. All that stuff you've talked about with God, all that stuff you and God have rehearsed and went over during the good times, you got to pull from it, and that becomes your strength. And God uses that truth that you studied back in the good times to calm your soul. And let you see. And you say, right now, there's some of you sitting here saying, that's really easy for you to say, preacher. But I can't do that. Yes, you can. Here's one of the reasons I know we're doing what God wants us to do this week. And I'm sharing what I'm about to share because I was told I could. I'm sitting in David's living room today by myself being real quiet. Judy was sleeping. That's the only reason it was real quiet. It's because. And the reason it was quiet is because I couldn't figure out how to work his TV. Or I'd have been watching Bonanza, you know, or something like that. But I couldn't figure out how to work it, so we just in there with nothing. I was sitting there and the phone rang. And I looked down at it. I started not to answer it. Because it wasn't one of my contacts, it wasn't anybody I knew, and, you know, I don't know about you, but I get a lot of these car warranty calls these days. And so I wasn't going to answer it. And I picked it up and I answered it. I said, hello? And this voice said, is this Blaine Markham? Just like that. I said, yes. He said, this is Todd Reed. I said, no, it's not. I said, Todd Reed don't have a low voice like that. I said, get off the phone, man. What do you want? He said, I know you're doing Psalm 23. And I had to call and tell you this. I said, okay. And then he couldn't talk. He's just crying. And he said, my youth pastor's wife has cancer. Y'all know. And he said, 6 years ago, they gave her 2.5 years. And he said, things aren't going well. And he said, me and Corey had breakfast this morning. Today. This morning. And then he just bawled for a little while. And I sat quiet in my chair. And he said, Corey. He said, I took him so I could help build him up. And Corey told me, he said, he quoted this verse. And he said, Pastor, it's the shadow of death. He said, and that shadow means that it's not the reality. And he said, and the only way you can have a shadow if there's light shining from the other side. He said, and I've told my children, we're looking for the light. And I thought to myself, I tried to talk and I couldn't talk. You know, I'm 6'9", but I'm a big old baby now, and big old tears are running down my face, and Judy's sitting over there. She woke up. She didn't know what in the world was going on. I'm trying to talk, and I can't talk, and Todd's trying to talk. And I said, man, it's one thing for us to sit in church and act like we understand this, but when you hear somebody that's walking in the valley and has chosen to walk in the valley and has chosen not to panic in the valley, amen, then I'm sorry, sir. You're going to have to keep all that I can't do this stuff to yourself, because we can do it if we want to. Amen. The choice is ours. David said, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Now I got to hurry up. I don't want to keep us here too long. He said, your rod and your staff comfort me. And see, we separate this, but if you look, punctuation doesn't let you separate it. It's still the same sentence.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.